When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
First of all, Ange, just any injury updates, obviously, after the weekend with James Forrest going off, and then obviously any update on Kyogo as well?
Yeah, I think we've only got half an hour on this press interview, so I'll try and condense it for you. Nothing really changed from last week in terms of guys coming back. No one's coming back from the ones who are out. James, I just had a problem the other night, so we're just still assessing him. He'll be out tomorrow night. We'll get some more information next couple of days on him. Mikey Johnson, we're not sure about either, because he pulled up a bit sore after the game. As I said, he wasn't 100%, but we'll just see how he is for tomorrow night. And then I think everyone else pulled through okay, as far as I know.
I know you've got Ross County tomorrow night. You've also got the League Cup final on Sunday. For you, with these players, when you're not too sure where they are, is it a balancing act as well when you've got a cup final coming up as well as a league game?
Not really. We've got a game to win tomorrow night, and that's my focus. And I think from my perspective, we understand the significance of the weekend game, but we can't dismiss that 3 points tomorrow night are very significant for us as well, and a good performance against a pretty tough opponent away from home. So, as always, I'm going to put out a team that I think can win the game for us. And then after that, we'll dust ourselves down and sort of assess what's available for us for the weekend. That sort of mentality has served us well so far in this, over the last couple of months, in terms of how we've tackled every game, and we'll continue to do that.
Does Kyogo have a chance of playing on Sunday?
Look, it's not a matter of sort of ducks and drakes. Who knows? I'm not sure. Like I said, he's not far off. It just depends. It's a day-to-day thing. If he's ready to go, we'll play him. If he's not, then we'll look to the following game. But I'd expect him to be back at some point in the next week or so, from the way he's improving at the moment. But again, there's always, with these things, you're kind of relying on everything running smoothly, and that don't always go that way. If he has a setback, that might put him back a little bit further. So, but him and the medical team are working hard, and we'll see what happens.
And can I get your thoughts on the European draw? Bodo Glimt in the Conference League.
Yeah, firstly, it's great. We've got an opportunity now, in the knockout stages of a European competition in the new year, which is exciting for us, something to plan for. With the opponents, there's always a couple of things you look at. Obviously the opponent itself, and also then the conditions you're going to have to face, and I think both are going to be equally challenging for us from the point of view of, Bodo are a very good team, champions last couple of years. You look at the European group, they're undefeated, a couple of significant results, and then you look at the conditions, obviously going up there in February and the fact they've got an artificial pitch, some fantastic challenges for us. Whoever we got, it was going to be exciting. I guess the first game's here at Celtic Park, which I think will be a big game for us. Hopefully by then I'm talking less about injuries and more about how many players I have at my disposal, and we think we have a fair crack at it.
And because it's European football after Christmas, how big a deal is that for you? How big a priority is that? Because I guess you'll be hoping to keep fighting on all fronts.
Yeah, massively so. I mean, I think that's where we want to be as a football club. You know, we want to be playing at in Europe on the continent against the best and testing ourselves deep into the competition, not just in the group stages. Now, obviously, this is a new competition, which has given us the opportunity to continue, even though we didn't progress in the Europa League. But it's still a competition. It's European competition. There's some very, very good football teams in there with strong pedigrees, and we're one of them, and we want to do as well as we can in it.
And can I finish by asking how important it's been for you to have fans back, and we're not sure what's going to happen if new restrictions come in, how much you hope that stadia can remain full or close to full as we go through Christmas and New Year, obviously public health being the main concern.
Yeah, no doubt. Look, ultimately that's still the main thing. As much as we'd love to think that football's the be-all and end-all, you want public health to be a priority, and that's what this football club has always sort of followed the guidelines, and we'll do that. But you've seen this year the difference in having fans, and for the people who experienced it without fans, it's a different beast altogether. The game changes. I really believe that. I think the way the players play, the way the intensity of games changes without crowds there. And for us, our support is a massive part of this football club, and I'm hoping that regulations are tight, but it doesn't affect or doesn't impact our supporters coming to see the game.
Ange, we've seen a couple of Premier League matches down south cancelled because of positive COVID cases. Is that a concern that similar might start happening up here?
Look, it's always a concern. I mean, I think people probably, maybe in the general public, at some point got fairly relaxed about it in terms of life being normal, but we haven't really changed our processes since I got in the building anyway. We've been really vigilant in following all the protocols and making sure, because we know it's a constant. We know it can happen any time. I mean, as you said, it's affected a couple of Premier League clubs now. I'd assume that those Premier League clubs are doing the same things that other Premier League clubs are doing. So it's not like you can, bulletproof yourself. You can do everything right and it can still impact you. And we're aware of that. As I said, what we're trying to do and what we have done all along is follow protocols, be really vigilant about mask wearing, about distancing, how many buses we have on road trips, all those kind of things, just to minimise the risk of spreading amongst the group and impacting us. But it is a constant, and all of us are kind of hopeful that we get through this period unscathed.
The fact that you've got a sort of midweek game, a long journey as well, the week of a cup final, is that sort of less than ideal preparation?
Mate, it is what it is. I mean, we've played in Germany midweek or Spain midweek and then had to back up. So it's, which are long, probably longer trips than Dingwall, although, the bus ride will feel pretty long. But, that's part of being at this football club. And I think since the last international break, we're going to have 13 games, probably more games than anyone else. But that's because we made a cup final. I'd much rather be in a cup final and not play. We had European games. I'd much rather be in Europe than not be in Europe. So that's how we need to approach it. The guys have been fantastic, brilliant actually, in terms of not making these excuses, not looking for excuses, and our performances over the last sort of 3 months have been very, very consistent, and pleasingly the results have followed as well.
Ange, you won at home against Ross County earlier on in the season. What did you make of them? And also, in a few recent games for Kent, there's been plenty of goals. Is that what you might expect tomorrow night?
Yeah, who knows? But I think they've improved a lot since then. I think Malcolm Mackay's done a super job with them. I think probably when we played them, I think most people probably would have written them off for this year with the start to the season they had, and probably they had a lot of young players in the team when we played them. So, but they've improved. And the results probably don't reflect their improvement, because the games I've watched, they've been good value in terms of, as you said, it's always a good barometer how whether teams score goals, the ones who are down the bottom, because most of the time, you know, teams will just fight for survival and try and get wins, you know, with minimum risk. But, you know, they've gone at games and credit to them. And we expect a tough game tomorrow night, absolutely. You know, I don't think it'll be an open game, but, you know, I think they'll be feeling pretty good about, you know, taking their game to us. And we're not going to change our approach. So, yeah, there could very well be goals.
Obviously, there are plenty of injuries, especially in your forward line. Whether it's David Turnbull playing as the most advanced or someone else, are you confident in your team that, you know, you can still go up there and get the 3 points and it won't affect the balance of your lineup, of your play too much?
Well, you know, it hasn't so far. I mean, you know, we lost Jutta a few weeks ago, and, you know, we've gone okay since. We've lost Kyogo and we're doing okay, so... As I said, it's not ideal. You want to let your best players playing, but, you know, we've been pretty hard in one part of our setup in terms of our forward setup. Unfortunately, all the injuries most of them have come in that area, so it's testing us for sure. But what I've seen from this group of players is that our level of performance hasn't dropped. The indicators that we look for of how dominant we are, the chances we're creating, you know, even against Motherwell, you know, I know it was a 1-0 scoreline, but we created some really good opportunities, even though we didn't have, you know, an ideal forward setup. And, you know, so that doesn't change. And as I said, this group of players, that's what they want. You know, they don't want excuses. They don't want to go out there and you know, prove themselves and overcome every challenge. And we've had plenty of them since I've got here. And we'll keep tackling them the same way.
And I'm just checking, is James Forrest's issues not linked to his earlier injury, is it?
No, this is kind of a different one. It's a different area, so... Again, I don't want to be specific because we haven't got the scans back on what his issue is yet. So once I get that back, but it's definitely not the same problem as last time.
At the moment, would he be a doubt for the final?
I don't know. Well, yeah, it would be a doubt for sure because I don't know. You know, so if I don't know, it probably makes him a doubt.
Sure. And how do you feel your squad is coped with all of this?
Well, I think the evidence says that squad's coping really well. As I said, we you know, from the moment I got here, I mean, we had challenges right from the start. You know, throwing guys in without training and throwing guys in who, you know, hadn't had a pre-season and throwing guys in from other side of the world. And through it all, we haven't made excuses. We haven't tried to make allowances. We haven't said that, you know, we're kind of, give us time. We've just got on with it, and the squad keeps getting on with it, which is, as a manager, is brilliant to see, because it means that I've got a really resilient, tough group of players who want to be successful. And you know, we're getting challenged in a different way now with injuries, but as I said, I haven't seen anything in the performances to tell me that, you know, the players are kind of wilting under the any sort of, you know, stress that we may be going through. If anything, I just think they're rolling up their sleeves a little bit further and digging in a little bit more and making sure we get through this period.
Sorry, yeah. And you said recently that the squad players and the fringe players were improving on a daily basis. I think we saw that last week against Betis. How important was it to get them out and get 90 minutes or 80 minutes from them in that game? Because as we go forward now, we know that you're going to bring players in January, but we still have, you know, a heavy schedule from now till then and some very important games. So, you know, they're ready. Are you confident now that they're ready to step up if called upon?
Yeah, look, it was essential, you know, against Betis, because as much as, you know, people were sort of focusing on the fact that we were trying to rest players and not risk players, for me what was just as important is we got some game time into some players who haven't played a lot so far this year, because, you know, we're going to need them at some point. And you know, they train hard every day and I see their improvement, but ultimately every footballer wants to play, and it was important we gave them that reward for all the hard work. So a lot of the guys you saw that, you know, that was their first sort of run out, was, you know, they got reward for all their hard work during the year without playing, and also they showed that they could perform at that level, which was super important for me and for themselves, because there's always a little bit of doubt of, you know, can they perform at the level we want them to? Can they play the football we want them to? Until you see them out there, and against a very good opponent, a lot of them stood up really well, and that was, it was very valuable for me, and I think for the players themselves, that they got through that game and got through that game well.
And due to injuries, Ange, you've also had to call up young players from the B team to bolster the squad. How important is it now, long term, that Tommy's team are playing the same system that the first team are playing? Because if these kids are called up, they'll need to know the system and how it works.
No, look, it's essential, and Tommy, has done a good job of making sure that that kind of information is being fed into the player. But it's not just about how they play, it's about how they train. Because again, when they come into our environment, I don't want it to be a massive step in everything, in intensity, in information, in the way we do things. So, you know, the way they train is just as important as the way they play, because, you know, when they come into us, for two reasons. One is we don't want the level of our training to drop because a young guy's coming in. They're expected to come in and contribute. And B, I think that makes, if they're training that way with Tommy, it just makes that transition easier for them. But look, it's, you know, for me, that's still an area that I want to do some major work on. You know, when we go through these periods of having such challenges in terms of injuries, for me, if we have players who are ready in our B team to step up, or in our academy to step up, then nothing would please me more than to give them an opportunity. So that's what we're working towards.
And you've said that you think that the number of injuries that we have at the moment might be something to do with the high intensity training. But what a lot of fans have noticed is that this isn't the first injury crisis we've had in recent years. In fact, under Neil Lennon and Brendan Rodgers, it wasn't terribly unusual for us to have 6, 7, 8 players out at a time. I'm wondering if there isn't perhaps a sports science solution to this which the club isn't exploring.
Yeah, look, I guess that's a fair point. I can't really comment on what's happened in the past, because that would be unfair of me to talk about sort of past processes, because, you know, the managers involved then obviously had their own way of doing things. What I can tell you is that this experience we're having here is not unusual for me in my first year or any club I've had. My background, particularly in Australia, is very, very heavily influenced by sports science. It's very prevalent in sport in Australia. So it's not like I think sometimes people misinterpret when I say that, you know, we train hard, that we've got them out here running through the hills of Lennoxtown endlessly with, you know, 20 kilograms of weights on their back. It's not what we're doing. But what people also have to appreciate, that for any team, pre-season is a really important part of what you do, and we just didn't have any of these guys a pre-season for any significant time. We had internationals who were away, we had signings who came in late in the piece, we had guys who came back who were injured during pre-season, and we've been playing catch-up ever since. Now, you know, to try and explain to people the logic when it looks illogical what I'm doing is that what I've always resisted in terms of temptation from my perspective is to adjust the game style to accommodate for people who aren't ready for it. I just don't work that way, you know. So, you know, we go hard from when I take over, and we keep going hard right till the end. And along the way, that means, particularly in the early stages, there's going to be some attrition. Some players are going to, you know, struggle with it. And I think it's only logical. And you know, we're putting a lot of work into the sports science area, the medical area, to make sure our players are prepared. But some of it is just because they haven't had the right preparation for it. And the only answer to that would be to me to change the way we train and change the way we play to accommodate for that. But I just don't think we'd have success that way.
At the weekend, we used David Turnbull through the middle. Can you tell us what the thinking behind that was, and if you're considering Abada or perhaps one of the development players as an alternative?
Yeah, the thinking with David was just, at different times, I think we just wanted to make sure we were fluid through there. I don't think it wasn't just about David's, during the game, he dropped out. You know, Tommy Rogic got into some great areas in that sort of front third and probably had more chances in that game than he's had previously in other games because we had him a little bit more advanced. And it was kind of a combination of working through them. You know, whether, you know, we can talk about Abada, but then if I bring Abada in, who are we going to play on the wing? And, you know, wherever we did, we were going to be a little bit short somewhere. So with all these kind of things, I've always tried to go down the least disruption route, you know, try and keep the basic and the foundations of the team pretty solid. And if we need to make it some subtle changes, we'll do that hopefully in one area without it affecting five different areas. So, you know, it wasn't ideal, but I still think it worked quite well. And for me, the measure was, like I said, we created enough opportunities to win that game comfortably. For me, that's always the key criteria to scoring goals. It's not about, you know, how many players you have in the forward line or how many, you know, what kind of players. It's how many chances you create, because that's what gives you goals. And I thought we were still quite good in that area.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you all feeling? Obviously, the game's coming thick and fast at the moment. The results are coming, but I suppose with it coming some injuries as well.
Games have been thick and fast since I arrived. It's been, you know, I've played 28 games and it's been two games a week. So it's been constant, but that's what you sign up for when you play for this club. We've got a good, strong squad and we're having to use it at the moment, but it's all part of the process.
On top of that, obviously, COVID isn't going away. There's a lot of talk at the moment. Do you guys pay much attention to it in terms of, do you fear more restrictions coming in, or have things already changed a little bit again at the training ground?
Yeah, look, I think we have conversations like everyone is, especially in this country and Great Britain as a whole, because we get a lot of access. We obviously see the news, but ultimately we're just guys gossiping. We wait to be told what's going on, and we stick to the rules and try and stay safe, because that's the most important thing.
Joe, on a similar theme, how important is it, or how much do you hope that fans are still allowed to come in significant numbers? How big a difference has it made to you and your teammates having full stadia, and how much do you hope that obviously health restrictions permitting that continues?
Look, it's a tough question to answer, because, you know, the obvious answer is it's better when we've got full support. Of course it is, but it's not about what suits us. It's about safety of everyone's safety. So that's the most important thing, and that will always remain the most important thing. If we can have crowds supporting us like they do, then great. But if not, you know, we understand.
Yeah, because I guess, you know, having everyone knows the difference between last season and this season and getting the crowds back. So it's that balance, isn't it? Obviously, public safety absolutely first, but it has been kind of, you know, refreshing, I guess, for everyone that the full stadia have been allowed to kind of reassemble, if you like.
Yeah. You know, it's tough, because you've got to answer it as a normal football fan that I am, but also as a player and the kind of responsibilities that we hold. So it's a difficult question to answer. There is an ideal situation, but people's health is the most important thing.
Andrew Milne? Andrew, can you hear us?
You're on mute, Andrew.
He's on mute.
Excuse me. Joe, footballers, you know, love playing football two games a week. But at this stage, with the injuries mounting up, it doesn't seem that there's enough recovery time now for players with these ridiculous schedules that you just have to play. How are you coping, and how are the younger players coping with this so many games in the schedule?
Look, it's a process. The schedule's there. We're very lucky here, actually. We've got a really strong squad. You know, we go strength in depth, so we just got to manage it as best we can. I think the boys that aren't playing so much are training really well. And we've just all got to be ready for anything. And it's who kind of negotiates their way through this period is going to put themselves in a really strong position. So I think that's the carrot that we all see.
And Joe, just from a Celtic fan's point of view, we've been exhausted on our travelling around seniors. How are you enjoying the unity between management, players and fans at the moment?
I think it's really strong. It's something that obviously is a great sell about this club, you know, especially for myself. And to see it is another level, another experience. And I'm really enjoying it. And I think that, you know, the support's there because they can see that us as players and as a management staff and as a manager, we're really trying to represent the team as best we can. And, you know, obviously everyone wants results, but we're literally playing to the peak of our powers, and it's appreciated, and we really appreciate the support.
Thank you.
Hi, Joe. Just in terms, I know people have been talking about the busy schedule. There's obviously a cup final this weekend. Do you think yourself and the players would have rather to have a full week build up to the cup final rather than play midweek, or do you not mind having the games coming thick and fast before it?
Look, we're not in the game for preferences. We're here to play Ross County tomorrow night, and you know that's our sole focus right now. It's cliche, but it couldn't be. It's so true. That all we're focused on is tomorrow night.
And I suppose you look at the results the team have had recently, you'll be extremely confident, despite the fact that there are injuries, that you'll be able to keep that form up throughout the rest of December.
Yeah, look, it's going to be tough. A big trip for us. We're light on a few bodies, but like I say, everyone's been, I think it was proven in the Betis game that the boys are training and doing all the really hard work that we appreciate in the background that people don't necessarily see. And we have full confidence with the guys that are going to be either coming in or coming off the bench and representing us.
Rahman?
As you obviously, the draw was made yesterday to the Europa Conference League. I just wondered how important you see that competition and indeed what you made of the draw.
Iran, it's so tough to even look that far. It's nice to know who we're playing. It really is. But it's so far in the future that we've got to take care of the present. It's great to be involved in Europe. We've really enjoyed the games up until now. And I'm sure that'll be another fun adventure once we get to it. But like I say, it's kind of one step at a time at the moment.
Obviously, you're new to the squad, but I just wonder if you are seen as a leader within the group, given your experience and whether you take on that role.
That's for other people to judge how I'm seen, but I kind of try and bring the same energy and the same professionalism that I've brought throughout my career, regardless of my age or where I've been and what I've done. I've got the standards that I set for myself, and you know, I like helping other players, and we've obviously got a lot of younger players in the squad. And if they want to hear what I've got to say, then great. If they don't, you know, everyone's got their own path.
Gabriel?
Hi, Joe. Just on that, plenty of Celtic fans have been impressed with your performances so far this season. The manager has told us he's been impressed as well. How do you personally rate your performances? What would you give yourself out of 10 so far?
I don't know. We're winning, which is the most important thing, you know, and I'm enjoying being part of that. But, you know, it's something that I'm enjoying being here and being a part of the club. I'm going to get the most enjoyment if I can keep trying to perform and stay at a level that keeps me in the team. So whatever level or score out of 10 that needs to be, I'm trying to keep to it.
Do you enjoy being one of the senior players, one of the most senior players, most experienced, most appearances, most trophies in the squad?
I just like playing football, if I'm honest. And, you know, I always have done, always will do. And being able to do it on the stage that's set here is something that I'm loving.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.